happening, YouTube? What's good, LinkedIn fam? So today we have a 4-hour live stream special edition episode of the Zach Scriven podcast. It's an industry 4.0 themed podcast in light of the industry 4.0 road trip that I'm going on. I'm here with my dog, Oliver. We have an awesome lineup of industry 4.0 professionals lined up for you guys today. We already got the first caller on the line, Dan Willis. And so we're going to be jumping into Dan in a second. But first, I wanted to take a second to just reflect on a post that I posted the other day, yesterday, actually, where I was comparing A and B. And in A, I was actually wearing this hat. I was wearing this LA hat. And in B, I was wearing the influencer hat with these shades right here, these Ray-Bans. And some of you guys had said, you know, overwhelmingly, you guys liked picture A, just regular hat, regular glasses, the comments where you could see my eyes. It's a big deal, right? It's making that personal connection with your viewer. But some of you guys suggested that you also liked the LinkedIn influencer hat, but with the glasses. So that's what I'm rocking today. So thank you guys for the feedback. Just, you know, wanting to let you guys know that I am listening. And some of you guys were even saying that you guys might want to purchase this hat. So let me know down in the comments if you guys would be interested in like a swag shop or some Zach Scriven Media swag influencer hat or a t-shirt. Let me know. That'd be awesome. And just another way to help, you know, support Zach Scriven Media and what it is that I'm doing for the industry. So anyways, without any further ado, Dan Willis, thank you for being on the podcast, man.
Good to be on here. Love breaking in the 4-hour grind you've got planned.
I am ready to go. I have coffee, water, refreshments. We're good to go. I mean, last time I had to take maybe a 1 minute break, to take a bathroom break. And, you know, I just had actually Kyle Burt had jumped in right at the same time Joe Gill was ending. So other than that, I was really good. So, towards the end of the interviews, I was getting a bit like, you know, tired, I guess, you know, like my brain was kind of spacing out. Like someone said like a whole entire thing. And I was just like, wait, what did they just say? You know, I was like trying to pay attention. I was asking somewhat good questions, but, I think that, you know, podcasting itself is kind of hard. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, people get on podcasts and you hear all these guests and they go, wow, that must be so hard to get on there and get interviewed. It's really difficult to be on the other side of the mic. When you're in control of essentially the entire interview and making sure that value comes through to your community, like that's a big deal. And it's your community. So you're the one that's got to guide the conversation and really make it go where you want to go. I've seen some pretty awkward interviews where the host didn't have it. They weren't able to direct it and bring value. And you ended up watching it going, I got nothing from that.
Yeah. And the other thing, the other element that adds complexity to it is, you know, I'm also producing it, right? So I'm also live streaming it. So my editor was Christopher. He was talking about potentially, you know, him kind of reviewing the you know, the Zoom remotely and then him switching it, right? So him being kind of the remote producer. So we might do something like that. But for now, I mean, this is working. So tell me, Dan, what about industry, you know, at first glance, someone might look at you and be like, oh, Dan is not in the industry. He's a, you know, he's a speaker, motivational speaker, content creator. He's part of that general larger crowd, which, you know, I'm also a large part of, but as many of the people in the industry that follow me know, and actually very few people outside of it don't know that, you know, I'm part of the industry 4.0. I was an engineer. And so I'm working on this documentary that's actually showing the processes, the hardware, software, and people that make industry go. So yeah. Tell me about what do you have to add to the story of industry 4.0?
Yeah. So for me, yeah, great. I'm a content creator. I'm a digital marketing consultant for major firms. That's all true. Public speaker. Great. I do that stuff, but I use these tools day in, day out. Like everything that's being designed, new apps, new software. I work with SaaS companies as an influencer, as somebody who provides insights, as a board advisor on a lot of different SaaS companies. And so really it's about, great, I'm the guy that puts this practically into use. And without this feedback, without the data that I give you of here's the breakdowns, here's where this is going, it makes it very difficult to get that next development, that next iteration of where things need to head. And I think that's something that's really underappreciated by many content creators out there is if you're using these tools and you understand more of the business side of things and how tools are built, how they grow, what teams need in order to make something excel, you can actually have a lot of input and help in the development of what's coming down the pipeline.
So of the industrial themed content that I've been creating over the last year, what of it have you noticed, or, you know, some of the client work that I've done, like what stands out to you?
So what I like is that you're opening up the culture a lot. So when you visited, I can't remember the name of the conference, but you went all out, like you did the full thing. You showcased the entire trip. You showed people what the event looked like. What it does, I think, is break down this barrier that, well, engineers, thought creators, designers, those people all fall into this certain box that we like to put them in. But that exposing that industry for what it is and actually showing the people, showing the community, showing the passions, makes it a lot more relatable. And so where normally we'd go, well, yeah, sure, we've got all these creative people over here that are very artistic and they're very open and very great. Like you've got your VidCons and your VidSons.
Marketers.
Right, your marketers out there. And I'm a marketer, so I'm not putting those people down at all. I love that culture. But what I love more is actually seeing communities brought into the light that haven't necessarily had that before in a way that's really productive. So when you were showcasing that event and going, look at these people. They are genuinely passionate, whether they're working in bioagriculture or chemistry production or petro or whatever it is that they're working in. The fact that this industry exists and there's people day in, day out, busting butt with a serious passion to bring it forward, the more content we can create around that, I think the more engaged people are going to be with it. Right now, you've got that huge cultural vibe of everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Well, that's because entrepreneurs are out there creating great content, showcasing their passion. I think the more that we get that engineering world to do that same thing of look at the problems that we're solving, look at the solutions that we're trying to craft, look at what we're trying to do for a global solution. I think the more that we showcase that, you're going to get a lot more kids signing up and going, I want to do that.
Yeah. That was one comment that I got from Tesco. Shane Thomas said that, you know, I'm making that industry cool, you know, are making that industry more relatable, getting people more excited about it, connecting consumer technology and, you know, software companies like Google, Apple, Amazon to these large, equally large, you know, maybe not large as Apple or Amazon, but like large players, you know, Schneider Electric, Siemens, Aviva, Rockwell Automation, right? I'm probably forgetting a few, you know, ABB, right? These different sectors of automation are like almost just, they don't even have a presence. Like you wouldn't even know that they exist. I mean, maybe you've seen a Siemens, but you know, I mean, Siemens also like touches in healthcare and other, you know, they're much more diverse, right? Whereas Rockwell Automation, I mean, they're automation, right? So unless you've went inside a plant and maybe seen, you know, a Allen Bradley controller controlling a line, like a bottling line or something like that, and then you probably never heard of them.
Yeah. And I mean, even worse, you haven't heard about the people that are doing amazing things behind closed doors. And that's one of the things I love attending different conferences, not just industry-wise, but also where you are in the world. I know that next month I'm headed to the South Africa Innovation Summit in Cape Town.
And you going to Cape Town, dude?
I'm going to Cape Town. I'm going to love it. But it's a bigger conference where it's not just marketers and advertisers, but there's all kinds of think tanks there that are working on exactly this industry 4.0 stuff of we need to engineer solutions that are Africa-specific solutions because it's great that we've got all of these solutions happening elsewhere in the world. Like, great, you know, Silicon Valley is creating California-appropriate solutions. That does jack squat for Cote d'Ivoire in Africa, right? Like, they really are dialing in and saying, how can we develop some really tailored solutions for our industry, for our people here, using the talent that we've got here? So I'm excited to see what they're up to.
Yeah, it's almost incumbent upon us as a responsibility to take that leading edge technology where we have an abundance of wealth and abundance of technology and creation abilities to use some of that free time to develop solutions that help these, you know, developing countries.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a disconnect though from living in that culture and creating a solution and living outside the culture and creating a solution that you think will work. And I think that's what Africa keeps seeing over and over and over again is people show up and go, we've got a great solution. And it takes somebody there 10 minutes to go, well, that's not going to work because XYZ. So yeah. I'm really excited to see it's taking place in South Africa, but in reality, it's a continent-wide gathering of these great minds that are processing these solutions. So I'm excited to see. I know very little. I am largely ignorant to most of the problems I think that culture is facing, but I'm excited to see how they process and innovate.
Yeah. So let's talk about let's take a step back, and I'm excited about things like that. I mean, I think this is kind of the benefit of that technology, is getting the barrier of entry lower, getting the efficiency higher, getting the level of connectedness higher, increasing the automation, right? Decreasing errors. I mean, all those things, right, are empowered by Fourth Industrial Revolution. But what is the first Industrial Revolution? What is the second one? So Industry 1, I'll just share the screen right here. I'm reading it off of Wikipedia. So let's see, Desktop 2. Can you see this here? Before Industry 4.0, Industry 1.0 refers to the first Industrial Revolution, marked by a transition from a hand production method to machines through the use of steam power and water power. So it's the mechanization of labor is Industry 1.0. Industry 2.0, I believe, is electricity. Industry 2.0, the second Industrial Revolution, or better known as the Technological Revolution, is the period between 1870 and 1914, was made possible through the extensive railroad networks and the telegraph, which allowed for faster transfer of people and ideas. It is also marked by ever more present electricity, which is allowed for factory electrification, right? So it's further distributed. I mean, essentially, Industry 1.0 was mechanization. Yeah. Industry 2.0, they just swapped out the steam or the water turbine for an electric motor, which now allowed your plants to not have to be located right next to the river. It's the distribution of power, right? And then it's the distribution of information through the telegraph. That was an interesting one that I didn't think about, but that one's actually more important, and it definitely relates to what we're doing right now, right? With video, right? Let's get to the third Industrial Revolution. We'll have comments in a second. I'm really excited right now, because Industry 3.0, and if you notice, the time is getting halved each time. Between 1.0 and 2.0 was 100 years. Between 2.0 and 3.0 is 50 years. So late 20th century, after the end of two big wars, as a result of slowdown with the industrialization and technological advancement compared to previous periods, it is also called Digital Revolution. The global crisis in 1929 was one of the negative economic developments which had an appearance in many industrialized countries from the first two revolutions. The production of Z1, electrically driven mechanical calculator. Interesting. So this is the first digital computer, essentially. This continued with the next significant progress in the development of communication technologies with the supercomputer. In this process, where there was extensive use of computer and communication technologies in the production process, machines started to abrogate the need for human power in life, right? So that's Industry 3.0. I think of the PLC, right? It's the first computers, right? Digitally controlling your process now. Industry 4.0 is an abstract, complex term. Now we're at Industry 4.0. When many components, when looking closely into our society and current digital trends, to understand how extensive these components are, here are some contributing digital technologies as examples. Mobile devices, Internet of Things, or Industrial Internet of Things, IIoT, location detection technologies, GPS, advanced human-machine interfaces, authentication and fraud detection, 3D printing, smart sensors, big data analytics and advanced algorithms, machine learning and AI, multi-level customer interaction and customer profiling. So think of when you log into Amazon, right? It just knows everything about you, right? And so the engagement is better, right? It's smarter. Think of Alexa, right? Fog, edge, and cloud computing. Fog, I've never heard of that term. Fog, think of it like the cloud, but it's closer to the edge. That's what the fog would represent. So let's stop sharing now and let's just talk about that, because that was a lot of information. But that's Industry 4.0 in a nutshell. It's a concept.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an interesting concept, because it's something that definitely comes from developed nations, where there's so much of the world that isn't really diving into 4.0 quite yet. So it's great that we're in a place, you and I, where, you know, I'm up in Canada, you're in the States, where this is, you see a lot of talk about this. Adobe is one of the big companies that I love out there that's really playing around with some interesting concepts as far as this goes with creating that smart technology, really driving smart computers, AI thought processing, seeing where we can go with that. So I love tapping in with the Adobe Chat crew over at Adobe Experience Cloud to hear where that's going. But I see a lot of conversations about this stuff, and slowly some of that stuff is rolling out, where Amazon is a great example, of course, where you see them rolling out not just the idea of automated purchasing, but also automated delivery. Let's automate all of these systems where you've got little delivery buggies driving around certain areas of California right now, dropping off packages, like completely eliminating the supply chain.
Drones, yeah.
Yeah, like it, not just the drones, but they've got these driving units now that are actually navigating the streets with packages and driving them right up to your door. They look like a little Wally.
They just opened those up in Irvine, California, I believe.
Yeah. And so it's like this crazy process of, okay, let's take all of this innovation that we have, and if we can genuinely use it, like Tesla's great. It's a real shiny thing that you've got there. But I actually get more stoked when I see a company like Amazon doing that little Wally delivery, or Domino's Pizza using smart cars to deliver a run of pizzas to people. I'm like, great. This is practical application of 4.0 that I can actually appreciate. Yeah. For me, that's it. I love it. I love that. That's making that progress. But at the same time, I think there has to be right now a bit, I don't know if it's 3.5, but you have to have something that's bridging that gap between the countries that aren't able to make that leap.
Right. They don't even have industry 1.0. Like, they don't have electricity.
Yeah, 2.0 right now. They're still working on getting that electrical system set up, right? So it's a really interesting time where, yeah, it's great. We're doing all this forward thinking with supercomputers and AI, and great. But every technology that we create here also comes with, I think you touched on it earlier, that idea of responsibility to find a way to make that 4.0 translate back into 3.0. How does it operate for somebody in 2.0? How can we make this of value, not just to the people that
Or just a shortcut straight to 5.0, which is a good segue for Bob Meads. Dan, thank you for being on the podcast, man. What do you want to final will and testament?
Bob, rock it. That's it.